You are now entering the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.
We discuss geek culture from the belly of the beast once a week. I'm your host, Dan.
See, I told you that's how that's he does how it.
That's how we do. It is a very cold, rainy San Diego May day-ish. How you guys doing? I got Des and Will.
What's up?
Ahoy.
Ahoy. I'm still in my work clothes, and so you guys look underdressed.
I'm in my work clothes, too.
See, that sucks. Des is in a very comfy,
I'm in my sincerely hoodie.
Sincerely hoodie.
I could go to work like this, but I couldn't today.
They might send you home.
No, I would have paid real money to see you go to work in that fisherman's ensemble today.
William was in court today, and he's got a t-shirt and a button-down over the t-shirt.
And some jeans.
And jeans. Yeah. So I want to.
But had I not had court, this would have been completely acceptable on
really?
Friday. Yeah.
That's cool. I did not know that. How was everybody's week?
Long and tiring, and I'm glad to be here.
I am glad to be here as well. This is my first full week at my new job at my awesome downtown hotel that I work at in the finance department, and it was lovely. Had a great time. We had champagne at our staff meeting yesterday, because that's what you do when you're in hospitality.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, well, no,
that would make my meeting so much more interesting.
The GM was thanking everybody for a lot of some things happened over the first quarter, and he was thanking the team, giving some recognition with candy and cookies and champagne.
Dan was being thanked for the amazing works he did before he got there.
Yes. For his 100% attendance rate.
That's right. I never missed a day of work. I haven't yet. But no, it's been a good week, and I will hope. Although I did learn that the room that is supposed to be my office 2 years ago was turned into the storage room because the person who had my job before me didn't like the noise that was coming through the pipes.
What?
I'm like, I could totally handle that. Can I have this room back? Like, come on. There's supposed to be an office for me.
Maybe when they don't like you, they'll move you into the storage room. It'll be like office space. Yeah.
I do have a red swing line stapler.
That's amazing.
I absolutely have a red swing line stapler. I saw it. I'm like, this is the best day ever.
I'd read somewhere that they didn't make red swing line staplers until after that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, they did. They did back in the old days. Back in like the 70s and 60s.
Back in the old days. So when do you graduate? It's coming up soon. Like your last day's got to be here soon. Are you final year?
Well, I've already been through two graduation ceremonies.
Oh.
I think I got two more.
Okay.
Are you just crashing them, or are they not even yours?
No, they're mine. They're all mine.
How many
times
can you graduate from college? Like I had
apparently a lot. When you're R people, a lot.
When you're R people?
The smart minority people, apparently. Everyone at school right now has been through like two ceremonies already.
So you have like a graduation ceremony for you being Native American and a graduation uh-huh. ceremony for the smart people and then a graduation
yes.
ceremony for the department and then the big school graduation.
Yes.
That's just stupid and redundant.
Maybe so, but it's the way it is. But yeah, like so just about everybody who I'm friends with who's graduating, like people come up and go, when are you graduating? And we'd have this conversation. I don't know. Zeus, how many have you been through so far? You know, Katie, how many have you been through
so
far?
I feel like that just like... You're done with college. You go to a graduation. Done.
You have to remember that SDSU's graduation sucks.
Really?
The big one.
Oh, yeah. The big ones are always terrible.
But it's especially awful at State. What they do at State is they pile everyone into the arena, and they pretend that your family can see you and take pictures of you from the massive distance that you're away. And then they graduate you by department. Like
that,
they
is that what they do now?
They don't say names.
Oh, they too go, many names.
Here are the graduates for the Department of Theater, Television, and Film.
I went to a department graduation at SDSU. It was in like an indoor volleyball court somewhere, so they could actually, you know, it was small.
Well, we don't have to do that. We're the theater department. We've got people who know how to book rooms, so we're in the new theater in the Montezuma for the department one. And Peter Larlam is the one saying the names, so that'll be interesting.
No. Peter Larlam is very English.
Over at our at UCSD, when I did the undergrad graduation, it was a huge affair. But they did the names, and what I learned was anybody. Quite frankly, anybody could have gone through that graduation ceremony. If you went to the bookstore and bought the cap and gown and showed up and sat in a chair and then went up during your column or your row's time, you would hand them a card, which you wanted the person to read. And quite frankly, you could write anything down on there with a message. And because it was like I went to Muir, it was kind of the screw-off college at UCSD. They don't really give a damn, so they just read whatever you put on the card. So I'm sure all sorts of people who weren't actually graduating managed to go through my graduation ceremony.
Did you know any of them?
I knew a guy named Colin.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And I think,
Will knew one guy in college.
I think his mentioned Colin for school board. I went to school with Jeff too, but he was in the he went to Revell.
He went to the smart personal college.
Jeff is very smart. Yeah. So it kind of works out. I got to say this. Last week, we had an episode of Musings of a Geek, which was titled Batman Suffers for Your Sins. We've got nothing but amazing feedback on this episode, all because of Dez. Everybody loves the episode.
Everybody loves the Ghostbusters thing.
The Ghostbusters rant that he went off on. I have gotten nothing but Ladies Night Podcast brought it up a couple times.
There's a reason for that. It's because when a lot of the comic nerds and TV nerds and just nerds in general went off on the female Ghostbusters idea, we all did it, but we didn't really know how to articulate it. And some people articulate it better than others, but
mainly Dez.
No. I don't take individual credit for the way I put it last time, right? Like, it took me a long time to get to that realization as well. Like, that was the problem. Initially, I wasn't putting it that well, but like, some people did it very, very badly, and it made everyone think that like all these Ghostbusters fans were like, you know, massive sexist people, and some of them are.
I mean, let's be fair.
But lot of them were like, "That's just stupid." But like, they were doing the Dan Zisko style of arguing. Why is it bad? Because it's stupid. Well, explain it to me. I can't. It's just stupid.
I learned that from a friend of ours, who shall remain nameless. She's adorable. You've got bad props. So that was awesome. Also, you don't listen to History of Bad Ideas, but there was a whole thing about Dez leading Nickel from Graphic Novice around some sort of weird slutty rent fair by a leash.
Yes, and then,
because
and
Dez
then,
had to be the one leading.
Dan decided that what I really do is lead Nickel around by a leash.
Yeah, and I mistyped that on Twitter, which I could see Dez as a slumlord. You know.
Okay, so I'm just going to back this up. I'm going to assume that they were discussing some weird alternate fantasy scenario where they were imagining Dez doing this. You didn't actually go to a Ren Fair, right?
It's called Ren Fest. It's this weird, like, hedonism meets Ren Fair thing.
Okay.
I wouldn't even care if he was, you know, Dez wants to walk some guy around by a leash. I don't care about that. But I do care if he goes to a Ren Fair.
Okay, well. It's honesty time on the podcast. I've never been to a Ren Fair.
I've never been to a Ren Fair either.
But I freely admit
that I've seen one on TV.
Over the course of 30 years, I have from time to time sat around and watched the SCA fighters at Comic-Con longer than is socially acceptable. Dan, you're in that group too.
I am.
Right?
I mean, I will admit it.
When it's like a 24-year-old woman and a big fat guy and they're wearing real armor and they're hitting each other with big giant like trees that look like swords, there's a point at which like it's like 5 minutes. That's for the average person. And you and I have sat there and watched them for like 20. So I mean, like,
to be fair, I've been smoking while I was doing it, so at least I had an excuse. Like, I've got to be outside smoking.
So you may as well look at something.
So,
I'm just saying.
I mean, I get, you know, that having the Comic-Con podcast that we sort of are you know, picking on the Ren Fair has a certain irony to it. But
well, I'm not saying we can't pick on Ren Fair people, but I mean, like, we have to be honest. The problem I have with the
Rihanna
Ren Faire.
I used to work at the Ren Faire up in Riverside.
Yeah.
My wife.
Do you work for that?
Yeah, she did some. She was apprenticed in some sort of hair thing where they did braids of some sort. She's got stories. She wasn't slutty, but apparently everyone else was.
My problem with the Ren Faire is not the Ren Faire itself. It's the fact that a lot of the people that are at Ren Faire use Ren Faire as an excuse to do lots of drugs and be lots of slutty.
Have lots of promiscuous sex. Drugs and promiscuous sex.
I'm just saying, and I'm not judging any particular sex or any particular person. I'm just saying, if all the people there were just kind of like, we're so into the medieval period and the Renaissance that we're gonna have this like weekend every 6 months and pretend to live there, I'd respect that. I wouldn't want to be part of it, but I'd respect it.
For
a lot of them, it's like their Comic-Con.
Yes. Maybe that's how it was in the Renaissance. You don't know.
Yeah, it was people's Comic-Con?
Back in the Renaissance, people just had a lot of drugs and sex.
I'm a time traveler, and I remember going to that Comic-Con. It wasn't very good. Comics hadn't been invented yet. But
So
the problems I have with Ren Faire are the parts of it that are a lifestyle that don't have anything to do with it really being Ren Faire, and they're using the idea of that world for their own ends.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I'd feel the same way,
Dan, if there were like a group of people who once every 3 months decided to hold like a circus weekend, and it's because they really liked clowning at some level, but then when you got there, they were all just running around trying to get other clowns out of costume. I'm like going, dude, you're not really into clowning. I can respect clowning. You're into what you're doing right now.
This convention used to be about the clowning.
Now you say that. He says that like this is uncommon, but he doesn't realize I go to San Diego State. Yesterday,
I do know that.
Yesterday, for 2.5 hours, I watched a tenured faculty member
act as a clown,
and disturb people for about the first hour, walking around with a giant diaper on and reaching and digging into his diaper, from which he was pulling brown cookies, which he was giving them to eat. And then he spent about 90 minutes.
This is taking a weird turn, man.
He has this clown character called Super Amazing Baby.
Oh.
That's his clown.
Okay.
And he teaches a clowning class at school. So he was out participating with some of the people from the class during clown exercises. And then he went into some trees, and he came back with a piece of wood, which he used as an erection for 90 minutes.
I feel like I've done some drugs at some point.
I'm in like a TJ Miller, I'm gonna do lots of mushrooms and go to the desert kind of story.
I'm just saying clowning is a thing. Clowning is a thing.
Okay. Clowning's a thing.
It's a thing.
Clowning's a thing. That actually might end up being the episode title. Clowning is a thing.
I'm winning lots of them.
You are winning lots. It might be. The episode is still, still
ongoing.
Episode to go. We got 9 topics today. A lot of movies, but some video games and stuff. William, dice god that you are, roll a die. Number 3. All right, this is actually a Marvel kind of movie thing, which I think is actually going to be pretty cool. It was announced this week that Martin Freeman, Dr. Watson to Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock Holmes, and
Bilbo
Baggins will be doing something in Captain America: Civil War, which puts him in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with his Sherlock co-star Benedict Cumberbatch. Not in the same movie, but it's quite possible they might cross paths, depending on what he's doing.
Who was Sherlock?
Who was Sherlock? Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, no, but who was he in the Marvel?
She's going to be Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's right.
Interestingly enough, Robert Downey Jr. is also going to be in Captain America: Civil War, who he has played Sherlock Holmes, and the internet is saying, wow, they should do something. That would be funny.
Yeah, but will Robert Downey Jr. be around by the time Cumberbatch is in the universe?
I don't know. We can talk about the Avengers Age of Ultron in a little bit if you'd like, but okay, so
the weather says we can't talk about anything.
It's actually physically raining right now. It wasn't raining when we started. It is now raining.
Physically
outside.
Raining.
Is that tie over there important to you?
Not anymore. I washed it accidentally and I was just like, so we don't wear ties where I work now. I don't know who Martin Freeman could possibly be. They're throwing everybody into this movie. This is basically all of the movies now are just prequels to Avengers 3. All of them, because they all have multiple heroes.
No, I'm gonna go with the nerds that are calling Avengers 3 Avengers 3.8.
What nerds? Am I right?
No, there's this movement out there to call it 3.8 because obviously I don't see how you can't see Civil War as an Avengers movie.
No, it's absolutely an Avengers movie. Everybody is in it. Like,
it might as well just, I don't know why they just don't make it Avengers 3 and then make Infinity War 4 and 5.
4 and 5, yeah.
I don't get it.
It's absolutely an Avengers movie. It's got Cap, Tony, Black Widow, Vision, Black Panther. It's got everybody.
Ant-Man's,
and everybody's in this movie. Cap 3. Avengers 3. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know who Martin Freeman could be. It's quite, people are saying maybe he's a father of someone.
No, he's not. He's going to be like a med tech or a SHIELD agent.
Maybe he's the new Coulson.
No, because like
Martin, the in-movie universe Coulson.
Martin Freeman doesn't want that kind of work with Marvel, where like you're in every movie, even if it is only like a week.
Yeah.
No, it'll be the kind of thing where he's playing some type of functionary who like, maybe he's the guy who has to register people. He'd be really good at that role. Excuse me, Mr. Iron Man, sir, but I actually need to take your fingerprints now. Like that's a good role for Martin Freeman.
That is a good, I like him.
It'll be something like that, I'm sure.
I like him a lot. I think he is amazing in Sherlock as Dr. Watson. I thought he did okay as Bilbo, but I thought those movies were just generally okay.
Very okay.
They're just very okay.
I think that the people who were in the movies weren't the problem. The movies themselves were the problem.
Yeah, no. I wholeheartedly agree with you. But you're right. They're apparently pulling everybody into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I believe you said that at one point. To the point where there is not going to be anybody left.
Like, don't be surprised for Cap 3 if there's a big fight scene at some point.
Well, if you don't see
Ms. Marvel fighting somewhere in the background. Not Captain Marvel, but Miss Marvel, the other one.
Yeah,
the Pakistani one.
Since we're going to end up talking about this anyway, I know that Joss Whedon had wanted to get Spider-Man and Captain Marvel into the Avengers movie, but was told he could not.
Well, Spider-Man, that makes a lot of sense. He probably shouldn't have asked. Nobody at Sony and certainly nobody at Marvel Entertainment wants a placeholder Spider-Man. Like just a guy you pick off the street to be Spider-Man?
They want Spider-Man.
They want their upcoming Spider-Man to be that Spider-Man.
Who supposedly is... Did you guys see the movie Ender's Game, either of you?
Yeah.
No.
It's supposedly going to be Azza Butterfield.
The kid who was
in Ender's Game.
Okay. Sony. You're not Marvel. I like your idea, but it's a bad one. He's not that good.
Stop.
Get the kid.
Kevin Feige and Disney is involved in that casting.
But get the kid from The Giver instead.
Which one was The Giver?
The Giver was the
Jeff Bridges movie.
When the dude is out on the edge of the cliff.
The
dude has all the memories. And nobody has any memories. Everybody sees black and white except for the dude.
Because he's the dude. Because he abides.
No, but the kid in that one, like I could see him being Spider-Man. But, I wouldn't. Asa, that's not. That's a really intense Spider-Man.
I know. They got to bring it back to more of the joking Spider-Man. The funny Spider-Man. Like, that's what we want to see. Mm-hmm. Someone who's just so, like, happy to be there because he's a teenager. But he's also got these cool superhuman powers.
Does he have to be a teenager?
Yeah.
Usually, yeah.
He kind of does. He kind of has to be a teenager. That's the only way that really works.
Then you're just stuck with one of these teen lit kids as your actor because those are the only teenagers working right now.
True. Somebody had said that they thought, it was on Ladies Night podcast. See, this is like my new favorite show. Like, I love these guys. They're a podcast out of San Diego. Four guys, and they're hilarious. But at the end of the last show, they talked about, one of them mentioned how much they liked the new Fantastic Four trailer, which I think looks god-awful. I think it looks god-awful because they're all literally kids. I mean, Kate Mara's in it, but like she's, I don't know how old she is. She's either really young or really old. I can't tell.
Okay.
But what's his bucket from Miles Teller is playing Reed Richards, and he looks like he's 12.
I don't mind him as Reed Richards. Let me sum up the problem with the Fantastic Four movie for you.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Are you
ready?
Let's do it.
We should use these powers to help people. Really, the Human Torch is the one who is making them superheroes.
Why is that bad?
The most juvenile, ridiculous member of the team.
Yeah, but Michael B. Jordan's not going to do that because he's Michael B. Jordan.
No, but
he's
not
going to play him ridiculous.
That's the problem with the movie. I like Michael B. Jordan, but I mean, I'm sorry, you don't have the Fantastic Four if Johnny is like Captain America.
Well, it's a very different Fantastic
Four. No, it's not. It's not a different
Fantastic Four at all.
It's not Fantastic Four. It's just like the Ghostbusters thing. You're telling me that because there's four of them, I'm supposed to believe it's Fantastic Four.
Well, they have the same powers in the
Fantastic
same
Fantastic Four actually means something.
What does it mean?
It's a whole dynamic of how these people relate to one another, regardless of where you put them in their storyline. You can do it after Reed and Sue are married. You can do it before they even start dating. It doesn't matter how old or young they are, but how they relate to each other is the story.
Okay.
Right? Which means there's nothing, like, see, personally, I don't find Johnny being juvenile as being Johnny is therefore a bad character, a bad thing to play. It just means that Johnny looks at every time he sees supervillains coming and trying to kill him and goes, you know what? This is really awful, but I can catch on fire and fly. This is still cool. But see, like that, but that's not, you know, so you see what I'm saying? I mean, like, maybe what they should have done is really, like, push the envelope, and instead of making the Storms an interracial sibling thing going on, maybe they should have made Michael B. Jordan Mr. Fantastic.
I would have been totally fine.
If that's what he wants to play, if he wants to play Reed, let's face it, of the people they have, he's the biggest star they really have. Because I don't think Miles Teller is a huge star.
But he was very good in Whiplash.
No, he was. And I think he'll bring a lot of women to the theater. But he's not what I would call a celebrity.
No, good point. Michael B. Jordan is the biggest person they have.
So if he wanted to play Reed Richards, make him Reed Richards.
I think he
would have
been a great Reed Richards.
You would have people who were carrying around racial baggage who'd be like, Mr. Fantastic can't be a black guy. But
why not?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Are we going to continue to make our movies because those people are upset?
We probably will.
Yes.
And it'll be wonderful movies.
Kate Mara is 32.
Really?
Her sister Rooney Mara is 30.
Kate Mara can't act.
She's the one in House of Cards, right?
Yes.
Other random facts, apparently, it's Kate Rooney Mara. And the person who knows Rooney Mara is Patricia Rooney Mara. They have parents who are Rooneys and Maras. The Rooney family are the family that has owned the Pittsburgh Steelers for ages. The Maras run the New York Giants.
No wonder I don't like her.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
No wonder I don't like her. That's like 90% of the things I hate in the world all wrapped into one person.
She's cute, though.
You don't even know her. She might be lovely.
She's affiliated with the Steelers and the Giants, Dan.
How lovely can she be, Daniel?
I didn't know football teams could start like mating and having children, but apparently.
If you tack the Raiders and the Patriots on that, I'd go so far as to call her the Antichrist.
It's like what's going on in Arrow. We're going to marry the two families and there will be an heir. Heir to the demon or whatever. Heir to the demon. Okay. So speaking of all of that delightful, delightful Marvel thing, I'm sorry, Will, but we're going to end up talking about the Avengers Age of Ultron movie, which was not as good as the first one.
Close to a
I liked it better and I'm bitter about it.
It was not as good as the first one.
I liked it better and I'm bitter about it.
Why are you bitter about it?
Because I think Joss Whedon should have waited another 10 years so that James Spader could have died. So I could have played the part because it's my part. It's my part. You know it's my part.
Here's the problem. Ultron is this big, bad, evil robot who was way too funny. It was James Spader's disembodied voice trying to do the Joss Whedon one-liners. And I don't mind the Joss Whedon one-liners. I really don't. But I'm like, not everybody has to have them. Make Ultron evil and a machine and not evil, not even evil, but like a logical machine who's trying to destroy the human race. And that's okay. And at that every time he was on screen, he took me out of it. I will say this. I did like Jeremy Renner much better this time. They did a lot with him. He had my favorite line in the movie. So
really?
Yeah. The city is floating. We're fighting robots. I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. Scarlet Witch is like, I don't know what to do with my life. I can't figure this out. I'm scared. He's like trying to calm her down. And that's the line. He's like, you know what? You just go out there and do the right thing. The city is floating. We're fighting giant robots. I have a bow and arrow.
However, none of this makes sense.
I'm like, this is great. Like, he was so good.
That was not the line of the movie.
It was about that.
The line of the movie is the best thing that Joss Whedon has ever managed to put on film. And that's because he made a throwaway line of the movie. You know what the line of this movie is, Dan?
Which one?
No, it wasn't. It's the best line of the movie.
When did that happen?
Okay, so, Will, at the beginning of the movie, Yeah. Once they break into the castle.
Yeah, the beginning Iron part Man, was the best part of the movie.
That's why I feel it's a good movie, because I didn't really like the beginning. I thought it was too over the top. But he flies inside the castle, and these guys are all shooting at him, and he goes, no, guys, let's talk about this. And then he shoots them all. And when they're on the ground, there's one guy who's been shot in the leg, and Iron Man's line is, good talk, guys. And you just hear this barely whispered line beneath him that goes, no, it wasn't.
I missed that. I didn't hear that.
It's the line of the movie. It's just, it's amazing.
Okay. I didn't hear that.
Will will love this
so,
movie.
I presume Ultron is the bad guy.
Yes, he's the bad guy.
Not to spoiler alert it, but I sense that they probably defeat Ultron.
They will always defeat Ultron.
How long was the actual age of Ultron? Because there was like a Bronze Age that went on for hundreds of years, and like an Iron Age or whatever it is. I don't really
know.
Was Ultron's age like 12 hours?
No, technically the age of Ultron is ongoing.
Okay.
I say it was like a week.
No, it's ongoing.
It's like, although, because it's not an era.
No,
by
it's,
any
it's,
means.
It's, no, it's ongoing.
Why is it ongoing? Because now we live in the...
Because the Vision is the culmination of the Age of Ultron.
So now it is ongoing. You know what? And here's the one thing that got me about this movie is I feel like Disney or the studio got into the editing room and messed things up slightly. So... Tony and Bruce Banner.
This movie needs Ewoks.
Tony and Bruce Banner, they're like trying to create AI, right? That's the whole thing. They're trying to create AI. Meanwhile, they get the Loki Pokey stick from the guy in the castle in Germany. And he's got, basically they've got AI going on and they can't figure out why. And somehow the Loki Pokey stick makes the AI come to life. That's all you need to know. What it took, and they don't ever explicitly say it, but it was because it was the mind gem which allowed Ultron to basically manifest itself. It had nothing to do with Tony and Bruce Banner. And they even said, we don't know what's going on, but it wasn't ever really clear.
I don't think that's true.
See, I think it was. I think it was the mind, because it was the mind gem from the Infinity Gauntlet.
You guys sound like you're describing a fucking episode of Yu-Gi-Oh!
First,
you know that,
before
right?
we get into this.
Like, the studio heads must just be losing their shit when, like, the people come in and are like, what is this movie about? Like, so these guys break into, like, this castle to get this thing, and it has, like, a mind gym, and it creates the robot that goes, and he tries to kill everybody in the floating city, and the bow and arrow guy's like this, and then they all win, and you're like, oh, you know what, guys? Here's $200 million. I will give this to you if you will leave my office right now and go make your stupid movie.
It's going to bring back over $1 billion.
Yeah. No, it totally works. It's amazing.
Before we get into that, Dan, let me just tell Will why he's going to like this movie and why he needs to see it. Will, the reason you'll like this movie is you just need to imagine, what if Alan were a giant robot and what if he were trying to take over the world?
That's basically it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can give you that. Yeah.
I presume he's not as bad in this as he is in The Blacklist.
Oh, no. Literally, this is the way the movie works, and I think Dan does it a bit of a disservice. It's not that Ultron isn't frightening or that he isn't a bad guy. It's that the way this movie presents itself is we're looking at Ultron's childhood. So he's still finding his way. So he goes through the course of this movie, and there's a moment where you see his final endgame, and it's the death of all humans and stuff.
And stuff.
And you could make the supposition that that's been Ultron's plan since he woke up, but I think that does the story a disservice. I think that in those first moments, even though he's very much intent on destroying his makers, that he hasn't written off all of humanity. He just gets there much more rapidly than a human would because he's a computer.
Maybe. I never got that sense. And Ultron was cool. And the plan made sense. And I'm AI and humanity is a problem. And fuck him and we're going to kill him. I get it. For me, it was just too much of the same thing. And I really liked it. I did like the movie. I really, really liked it. I just liked the first one better because it was so fresh. And this one wasn't as fresh, I guess.
Lies.
Not lies. That's
no,
my opinion.
No, your damn feelings. Lies. No, your feelings are opinions.
Your feelings are lies. No.
Your words are
this
lies.
This is a house of lies.
Your words are lies.
Why are my words lies?
Because there wasn't a single thing in the original Avengers movie that was fresh.
But the fact that
it was literally just Avengers 4 mixed with a little bit of a Joss Whedon sense of humor.
Avengers 4?
The one where they unfreeze Cap. It was basically that book.
Okay.
There was nothing in it fresh. I mean, it was intended for the thing that most impressed me about Age of Ultron, the thing I'm happiest about, is that the people who are complaining about it right now are complaining because they got confused. And not you. I mean, like, the people in the general media.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it.
No, what I'm saying, the people in the general... Like, I listened to an NPR podcast where someone was like, I just didn't understand. It was like there's these things that I was supposed to know. And you had Marvel fans who are also fans of the Marvel Entertainment Universe who were on these podcasts with them going, well, you saw those previous movies, right?
Yeah.
And what this movie does is it does the Marvel way of doing business as a movie.
Which is
that you can, if you want to enjoy a Marvel movie from this moment on, you can't go and see a Marvel movie like it's a Transformers movie.
Is that going to
you
be
can't
a problem?
Watch it. No, I don't think so. You can't watch it and then go, oh, I saw that. There were pretty explosions and colors, and I don't ever need to see it again, and I don't need to remember anything that happened in it. They did it like a comic book. Like, if you have not been paying attention to the 10 movies that precede this movie, you're going to be confused.
And this is
They don't take time out of their plot to explain things that were explained in previous movies.
And I agree with that. They don't. And if you had just gone and saw Age of Ultron and have no background, you'd be very, very confused.
Yes, and I think most of the people who watch these movies are not going and seeing them in a Transformers kind of style. They're maybe not looking at them as deeply as you or I do and other comic book nerds. And because let's face it, we're all kind of like liberal arts people. We tend to go, no, the theme of this character is so, you know, that's us. But they tend to remember what happened in the previous movies. It's the kind of thing where, like, maybe they're confused until they're walking out of the movie theater. But they'll mention that they're confused, and a friend will tell them, and then they'll go, oh, right, I remember that now. They're building a world, and this is the culmination of them building this world.
But my question is does Avengers do $1 billion in the future if there's 28 movies somebody has to watch to get into it? Are we now living in a world where I can't get into the newest Marvel or DC book because I've got so much history behind
it? No, that won't
be
a problem.
And I don't want to spend 70 hours watching movies.
That won't
be
a problem.
I'm already 8 movies behind.
That won't be a problem.
Why?
Because now, as they go forward, and as they start switching people in and out of the team...
That's strong.
It's no longer important that people watch all of the movies that precede. Now it's the opposite equation. Now it's important that when you go see Avengers 5, say 10 years from now or 8 years from now, that you watch all the Avengers movies first. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This movie builds on the 10 movies that came before because that's kind of your comic book world to build from. But just like a comic book series, as Avengers goes on, it won't build from like it's not like... In Avengers 5, some minute thing that happened in Ant-Man is going to be important. But there will be something that happens, say, in this movie that becomes important.
Fair enough.
It's the same thing, Dan. It's just like normal Marvel continuity. It can be handled poorly by writers or well by writers. But I'm glad to see that, because what bothers me the most about movies like Transformers and things like that isn't the fact that they're silly sequels or that they're full of explosions and things like that. It's that I feel like I don't, say Fast 7, I don't feel like I have to watch the movies
I've missed
recently.
One through six?
I don't like Bond movies. I don't like Bond movies because Bond movies don't want you to have to watch all the Bond movies. So to a degree, say like 40%, all Bond movies are the same.
I think that's going to change going forward, but currently you are correct.
Right?
Yes.
What happens is during that 40% of a Bond movie, I'm bored. I'm only interested in the new stuff, right?
Because you've seen it.
So, yeah, I'm happy with those kind of changes. And I liked the movie more than the original. And I think that's because I like action comedies more than I like action dramas.
That's fair enough. But I tend to like action dramas
and
more
I do
than
think
like action
a big
comedies.
A big problem for this film is I don't think they considered how much this particular audience doesn't want to try to view Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark as the bad guy.
Well, he wasn't really in this movie. No,
I think they realized, Dan, that's why they went through this convoluted thing where Ultron is born as part of a simulation that gets out of control.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's why the thing I don't buy about your argument is that somehow it was the magic of the mind gem.
I think it was because ended up being part of the
Here's what I've got, Dan. It makes no sense whatsoever for Thanos to give Loki an infinity stone so that Loki can go out and then give him back a different infinity stone. So here's how I've made the argument work in my head. The scepter itself is two different things. There's the mind gem, and then there's the gem from the scepter, which in my mind, I think the gem from the scepter was a case someone put around the mind gem. And what Thanos did is put a computer program into the case to try to override the case, and that's what Bruce Banner found in the staff. Was Thanos' AI.
But Thor even says it's the mind gem when he does his weird dreams, naked women dream sequence.
He said, all of this evil comes from the mind gem. He doesn't mean that the mind gem is evil or that the program comes out of the mind gem. He means that it all proceeds from the quest to get the mind. Just like he'd say for like the Tesseract, right? Is the Tesseract the big bad that made human beings make nuclear weapons of the Tesseract? Or was it the vanity of humanity that wanted to build weapons from the Tesseract?
See, I believe it's the vanity of humanity. The vanity of humanity.
You see what I'm saying? You have to remember that Thor speaks in a very specific kind of like heightened language. So I think there was a program in the case of the mind gem trying to work its way in, and that's what Bruce found. Which is why at the end when Thanos says, you know, I guess I'll just do it myself kind of thing.
Basically, yeah.
That's what he means. This was Thanos being subtle, and it didn't work. But like to presume that like Thanos means no, by some magic I created Ultron and he was supposed to kill humanity for me. No, that's not what they're saying. They're saying there's a plan to get to the mind gem and it didn't work.
I didn't see any indication of that, but it's an interesting take on that.
The thing that concerns me is I think they integrated the mind gem too much into the Vision. Like, I don't really know what happens to the Vision in this world you've created now when Thanos rips that out of his skull.
Yeah, which is going to happen.
Like, they didn't create that delineation between the fact that there's the Vision and he has the mind gem. Not that they made it seem like the Vision is the mind gem now.
That's a whole problem. That is a whole problem. But again, there was a great everybody cheered when I even went to the drive-in and people cheered when this happened. There's a great Joss Whedon moment. They have that whole. Did you see the preview, William?
No.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think I did.
They're all at a party and they're trying to lift Captain America's hammer. Did you see this?
No.
Yeah, they were trying to lift Captain America's hammer.
Not Thor's hammer. Moved it a little bit. So they're all trying to lift Thor's hammer, and he has this whole thing how there's a similar that you can't lift it. You're all not worthy. Blah 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 blah. Like nobody can lift Thor's hammer because they're not worthy. And the Vision is created, which is Tony Stark's computer gets put into a body. Again, here's your $200 million. Get out of my office. See, Tony Stark's computer gets put into a body, and they're trying to determine whether or not they can trust him. And the way it was shot and the way it was done is this character just picks up the hammer and hands it to Thor, but he doesn't know what he just did. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole idea of like, oh, you are worthy, but it's this whole moment of like, well, here's your hammer. You kind of left this behind. Just take it. And it's this great moment of, holy shit, A, it's a brilliant moment on film. Mm-hmm. B, it was set up wonderfully. Mm-hmm. And C, Joss Whedon does these things, and it paid off miraculously in this film.
Yeah.
That was also another good moment. I'm hearing a few things from the internet. Number one, people are saying there might be Marvel fatigue because the movies never change. They're always going to change, or never going to change.
I think that that's coming from the people who are like, oh, I was supposed to remember the previous movies that are claiming that there's Marvel fatigue. The box office suggests that there's absolutely no Marvel.
And I agree with you on that. That's kind of my point is that I think, you know, it's like the Saul can say about the Superman movies from the 80s is that Superman 3 did really well. It was Superman 4 that broke, you know, that ruined the series. But really, Superman 4 is a response to Superman 3. I'm wondering if there's ever going to be Marvel fatigue. It's going to take a while to catch up, but it doesn't seem like there is right now.
I don't think so. What I think these people who suggest things like that don't realize is that when superhero movies go wrong, it's when they start to copy Hollywood too closely, which is what happened with Superman. Mm-hmm. It happened with Superman 3, and it happened with Superman 4. We can both agree the problem with Superman 3 and the problem with Superman 4 is there is no emotional journey for Cal in those movies.
It's not about
I'm Superman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marvel hasn't made that mistake yet, right? I mean, like even with Iron Man 3, they worked really hard to introduce some kind of emotional change for Tony.
Tony has to go through something
that made the movie worth being a movie beyond the fact that it has blow like robots in it.
Is that the one with Ben Kingsley?
Yes.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yes. Yeah. Generally, the worst of the Iron Mans, people think. I like.
Yeah,
Iron
no.
Man 3.
It seems people didn't like that one.
Wasn't that?
I liked that one better than Iron Man 2. But I'm saying, like, Marvel understands that what has made their stories successful over the years, like certain stories more successful than others, has been the fact that during those stories, it wasn't like, oh, you know what it was? It was that time they fought the Kree and people like blue people. No, they look at them and they realize they really like this story because it's all about Tony being drunk and not being able to be Iron Man. Right? Like the most iconic comic stories from Marvel history are they're about the emotion of the characters, not about the who they happen to be fighting. So they've realized they need that in their movies. Every movie has to have an emotional arc. What's the important emotional arc of Age of Ultron?
My son just kind of came out. Hey, Bug. No, nothing. You want to be on the radio? No.
What is there are a few emotional arcs.
No, but there's one big one.
All right. Which one is the one you're talking about?
It's the one that's introduced in this story.
Black Widows?
No.
No.
It's Hawkeye becoming the leader of the West Coast Avengers.
We're back on West Coast Avengers.
No, it literally is that. It is Hawkeye going from being kind of a silent participant who makes jokes from time to time and kills things into a guy who's willing, namely because his life depends on it, he is willing to start forcing other people to do what he thinks is the right idea.
That's true.
Right? I mean, if we're looking at like there, but like I liked the Black Widow story, I liked the Hulk story, but really that story only served two purposes. One, it made Natasha more human so that eventually she can have her own movie, and it drives Hulk from the team. It's not really there to be the emotional arc of the story. That's why so much of the story builds in the center of the movie when Hawkeye becomes important.
Yeah, they did a really, really nice job with Hawkeye, yeah. I thought. The other thing is you're kind of hearing rumblings about Joss Whedon, I don't think, enjoyed doing this movie as much as he did the first one. He might be a little exhausted. He might be getting a little bit tired of Disney's involvement. There's just been rumblings that I've seen, and I think it's interesting. We actually have another topic about Joss Whedon later if we get to it, but I he's not going to be doing any more Marvel movies. This is it for him, I think.
Yeah, and that's not too surprising.
So,
I think what it is that Joss, when he started doing this, I don't think he quite fathomed that he was the flagship, right?
He was just a guy doing a movie.
I don't think he got that. Yeah. I think he thought he was James Gunn.
Mm.
They're like, you're going to give me this property, and it's this weird kind of kooky little property thing, and I'm going to make it good, and people are going to like it and spend lots of money. But when it comes down to it, what happens in the Guardians of the Galaxy world doesn't really affect anything else. So, you know, Marvel will leave James Gunn alone until he stops making money.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's what Joss thought. Like, the problem I think Joss has with it is that everything that happens in his movie has to be signed off on by, like, seven people. Because it's not just Kevin Feige. It's all of Kevin Feige's deputies that are producing the various other movies. Yeah. There's a large committee. I mean, like, for instance, I think the story I saw was the one where, like, there was a scene that Joss wanted in the movie that the producers really didn't like. And it was one of those times where, like, the producers are wrong and Joss is right. But as an offset, they kind of did that whole pool of souls thing with Thor.
Yes.
And Joss kind of threw them under the bus with it in both how it was presented in the film, cut into the film, and how he talks about it in the press.
He had a better idea for that whole thing.
Yeah. But the thing is that that's there to make the guy who's producing Ragnarok happy, because he needs enough Easter eggs in this for people to actually want to see Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And his film, of all of the various films, is the one that has the weakest results, even though Thor does monumental money. Right, no one's going to argue that. But compared to Iron Man,
Thor
it's a piddling amount of money.
Exactly.
Even Captain America makes like $200 million more than Thor at this point. So he needs those Easter eggs.
All right.
And with all due respect to Joss, his freak out over the fact that he couldn't get Tom Hiddleston into this movie. How unless you're God. How can you possibly manage to get enough stuff with a guy in a single day when you're basically breaking every rule and pissing off everybody in the process? Do you really think you're going to be able to get that done? You'd have to be God.
We know where Loki is. That's okay.
No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is you heard about all the stuff. Basically, what it is Marvel went, we don't want Tom to be in the movie because we don't think there's enough of a role for Loki in the movie to warrant letting Tom out of a movie. And A, paying him what his contract stipulates. So apparently Joss told that to Tom, and Tom went, well, I'll come in for a day. And just came in for a day at, like, scale.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm sure he did that, like, I'll come in tomorrow. Like, it wasn't the thing, like, hey, I'll come in for a day, like, 3 months from now. We give you plenty of time to write. You know, I mean, You'd have to be God to come up with some kind of brilliant idea and costuming that worked. You know, for obviously it was never going to work. You tried to do it on the last second.
Yeah, and that's
fair. So stop freaking out about the fact that it didn't fit in your film.
No, and you know, it doesn't. It's not like we lose anything from the MCU because we know where Loki is
and
Loki's.
And let's face it, he made some pretty significant mistakes in this movie. With the things he had. Right? Like I think with the fact that Anthony Mackie got out of a movie and got paid a ton of money, he is woefully underused in this movie.
As Falcon?
Yeah, in this movie. Yeah. He's just in the party scene. That's all he's in. You know, I mean,
and at the very end when they're doing the roll call, as you said before.
Yeah, it's I mean, like that you can't really view that as not a mistake. And it shows you that like his complaints, it's like Joss is like any comic writer, but he doesn't want to admit he's any comic writer. Right? Like Token, like the Falcon is a token character in this movie. He's
Eddie
a like
black.
He's a like they no
just
he's not
that
a,
out there.
But he's not a token black character.
Just throwing that out there.
He's not a token black character.
You said it.
I'm just saying, like, it's obvious that Marvel went we want Falcon in the movie and then Joss treated him like they're making me put this guy in the movie. And that's been happening in comic books forever, right? People will say you have to have a character in it, mm-hmm. and then they'll just do but like you have to admit when you're doing that.
Just a splash page at the end. No, I mean, okay, overall, I like the first one better. But speaking of reviews, I'm moving on because we've been talking about the Avengers and William's looking at his phone.
I feel like a valuable member of the team right now.
Well, you will because we played a new game last week.
Which one?
Five Tribes.
Oh, yeah.
And
I won.
William won, and Dez thought we could review it tonight, mm-hmm. which, because, you know, Dez is kind of our game master.
Yep.
And game master. Not Game Master, uh-huh. Game Master. And I thought we could talk about Five Tribes. Five Tribes is, it's explain
from,
it very quickly.
Five Tribes from Days of Wonder.
And then I want to hear how awesome Will was when he won.
Five Tribes from Days of Wonder was designed by Bruno Cathala. It is a game with an open game board made of tiles. And what it does is you set up the game by putting various meeples randomly on the board of different colors. And then you use a Moncala mechanic in that you pick up all the meeples on one tile and you move to another tile. And for every tile you move through, you have to drop a meeple on that tile. And then when you get to the last tile, you drop the meeple on the tile and there has to be another colored meeple of
the
same kind. You take those meeples and they let you have a special ability for a turn.
And the game goes on and you do stuff.
It's basically a worker placement game with a Moncala.
It's a pretty cool game.
With lots of Aladdin-style Middle Eastern imagery.
And a scoring mechanism that has so many different ways to score, you have absolutely no idea if you're doing well.
It's very true. I thought I was doing well, and then I came in last, which was not unexpected, but I was like, I'm doing okay.
You're like, I'm not even sure which strategy is good.
You don't, because there's so much going on in this game. You basically are not playing against other people's strategy. You're basically trying to have your best strategy on that given turn with what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're praying to God that it's better than everybody else's, because there's literally so much. What I liked about it was there are no wrong moves. I mean, there are moves that are better than others, but you just kind of keep moving.
There's no wrong moves. There's no right moves. There are moves that are more effective, and there are moves that are less effective.
And William, at the end of the day, won the game. Yay!
Apparently the random strategy that I picked was better than the random strategy that you picked.
Yeah.
And that's about all it came down to.
Did you like it?
Yeah, no, that was a good one.
Comparing it to your favorite worker placement game, Lords of Waterdeep, how do you rate it against Lords of Waterdeep?
I'd have to play it a few more times. I mean, if you ask me right now, I'd probably like Lords of Waterdeep better, but that's probably because I understand more what I'm doing on Lords of Waterdeep right now. If, you know, playing this game a few more times, it becomes, you know, the strategy and gameplay becomes much more, you know, if it starts to make itself more obvious.
Now, granted, I've only played...
The strategy becomes very intricate and fun, then great.
I've only played three times. But even after three plays, I can tell you that you never really feel like you have a handle on all of it. That with seven or eight different scoring mechanisms, that there's no way to like really min-max it. Does that make sense?
You just
can't. And it gets worse. You ready for it getting worse?
Okay. It has an expansion.
It has an expansion that comes with not only new tiles and new special powers and new djinns, but an entirely new tribe of workers.
Oh, okay. So we have a new color.
Yeah, purple.
Purple. Purple.
Apparently, Days of Wonder thinks the number 5 is actually the number
6.
Or
that's right.
7.
There are 5 colors representative of the 5 tribes in the game title.
And the real fear I have with this expansion is that they're giving you new tiles, which means they're actually increasing the size of the board.
Yeah.
Which means the game is going to be longer.
You know what? I didn't find the length of the game to be bad.
Yeah, but I think it's smarter as an expansion to go, like, here's a different tribe of people. They do different things. But, like, the design should be, to do it, you have to remove one of the other colored groups of workers. Instead of just adding more workers overall.
That would be,
you see what I'm saying?
There can only be 5 tribes.
Yeah.
Can only be 5. That's the game. It's called 5 Tribes.
I'm less worried about this current expansion than the fact that 5 Tribes is so popular, there's going to be another expansion and another
expansion.
And at what point do you just have so much
100 by 100 board? And
then you can't tell the difference between the teal tribe and the aquamarine tribe.
These are first world problems, my friend. That's what's going on here is that.
Yeah, no, speaking of first world problems, the last year in board gaming actually has been a massive first world problems thing. There's all these people who've been bitching and moaning.
I didn't realize there was a whole thing about
no,
this.
There are.
There's
many good new board games coming out.
No, it's worse than that. It was that for the last year, games have been massively delayed. Because
we're getting too many good games all at the same time.
What are we going to do?
No, you got to listen to the story. Apparently, Customs...
No, guys, stop. I'm telling a story.
Customs and Border Protection has not been able to inspect the ports sufficiently.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole thing still going on in L.A., I think.
So there's all these board game people that are bitching online about how they haven't gotten their pre-ordered copy of something for 3 months because customs won't let
literally sitting at the L.A. Los Angeles Depot.
So wait.
Naval Depot.
Some like
thing
Border
there.
Patrol agents are holding up the expansion of their freaking collectible card game or something.
Yes.
They're like, we have to go through all these cards and look for drugs or illegals.
Yes.
Like, what? Really?
Yeah.
And I'm going to take out the ultra
super... That's your taxpayer dollars,
there you
people.
Go. There you go. Border Patrol is stopping the next Magic expansion or whatever. Marvel Dice Masters is not coming to you, damn it. We're not getting the X-Men. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of that, Dan, are you going to go to a game store now?
Am I going to go to...
I mean, now that the Justice League expansion of Dice Masters is out?
I might, actually. I would pick up Justice League Dice... I would play Marvel Dice Masters, but I would maybe think about getting Justice League Dice Masters. I like the Justice
You'd
League.
Have to come to Game Day to play Marvel Dice Masters.
I don't come to Game Day usually. I come every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Do you guys still go to Brody's and play games
We haven't for a while, but no. I've been busy on Sundays because of school stuff.
Yeah. It's been busy.
We got to do that soon.
Yeah.
We should one day, maybe we'll for one week, and maybe forego a podcast, and we'll just like go out somewhere, have a few beers.
We can't afford
play a game.
We can't afford to forego a podcast, Dan. We only record a podcast once every 8 weeks now.
Not once every 8 weeks.
We've been bad recently.
We can't pass up all of the income these podcasts.
I know, right? I will say this. This week, I actually found some time, and I was able to update the website. Salty language, I still owe you guys a bunch of updates, but I was able to update a lot of stuff. So Geek Dig Podcast is back. Got all of their stuff updated. And
were those words?
I think
geek was one of them.
Geek Dig Podcast is back.
Was Salty Language another podcast?
Yes, Salty Language Podcast. I owe them an update.
I thought he was about to curse.
Salty Language, but no.
And then he didn't.
No. We got a bunch of updates, and with the new job, I've got some time to listen to podcasts, so I've been catching. I haven't said, listen to Hobie. I listened to all of Hobie today, and I've been checking out this new Ladies Night podcast that's on Danger Entertainment, where we're at as well. They're another San Diego podcast, so they're pretty cool. Check them out. But yeah, that's what I got. Yay. All right. Well, we got time for one more topic, and we have one question from the universe.
Okay.
What's your favorite?
I don't know. We could do Suicide Squad, DC TV, Nintendo theme parks, Hateful Eight, Silent Hill, Joss Whedon maybe directing Star Wars.
Whatever.
Dez?
Well, we talked about Suicide Squad last week.
Okay.
Nothing new's happened.
Yeah, they had the picture. That came out on Saturday.
Yeah, the new picture with, look, guys, we messed up Harley Quinn, too. Yeah,
I don't think she looks that bad.
She doesn't look like Harley Quinn.
I have a problem with Killer Croc, but I don't think she looks that bad.
I think the whole thing is just It's just Hollywood taking the wrong message from movies.
God forbid Hollywood, the creator of movies, takes the wrong message.
They do it sometimes. I think that the Chris Nolan Batman universe worked because Batman is really a character you can see, you can at least envision in the real world. That doesn't mean that like people are ready for like real world style superhero movies and that they'll do well. I think that's partially what people disliked about Man of Steel. I don't think it'll work for Suicide Squad. I think Harley looks stupid. She doesn't look like she's trying to be a supervillain. She looks like she's trying to be a weird goth punk girl.
There are people that we know, that we all know, that are girls who I could see dressing up like that for Comic-Con. Guys, this is so cool, and it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of my, it looked like bad cosplay. Not that I don't like the way Harley Quinn looks, but I just think it's not quite right for Harley Quinn.
The problem is that it shows the people making the movie have no idea why Harley Quinn is Harley Quinn.
Yeah, that's...
Harley dresses that way because she's trying to impress Joker, which means you can't have your Joker look more like a fake supervillain than Harley.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the picture of Jared Leto as Joker, I was like, nope. Nope. No.
Where's my Heath Ledger?
You've lost your mainstream audience.
I'm like, why would he tattoo crazy stuff all over him to make him look more crazy? Like, being crazy is being crazy, not tattooing crazy things on
you. The Joker doesn't have to do anything to tattoo himself. He's just nuts, and you're afraid of him.
Right.
Because he will kill you. And, mm-hmm. like, you're afraid of him.
Heath Ledger's Joker would be like, oh, you're kind of terrifying. If this guy showed up, he'd be like, oh, you're kind of a... douchebag,
kind of
idiot.
Douchebag, and well, he was like, "I put you in jail."
Yeah,
people like you in jail.
I'm like, "What? What?"
Whereas,
the Joker, all right, buddy, take it over here.
There was only one improvement,
which was
Tom Hardy's costume as Captain Boomerang.
That looks really good.
Is much better than Captain Boomerang's costume.
Yeah, that looks really good. That looks really good.
Oh, I'm gonna hit my PT topic. Okay. Because I can twist into a slightly alternate thing.
Then you close the show.
Okay,
this is your PT topic.
All right. You saw the headline about it. You said you did, Dez didn't, but you saw it.
Which headline are we talking about?
About the PT game, the Silent Hill game.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. Yes, okay. All right, I know what we're talking about. Yes, I actually saw it. I read a little bit of the story. Konami.
So yeah,
is
basically a
not
few months.
Yes.
Konami.
A few months ago.
There's a whole thing with Hideo Kojima.
Yeah. The guy who's been basically the creative mind behind Konami and their biggest game. So the Konami makes Metal Gear. It makes Castlevania. It makes Dance Dance Revolution in a slightly less impressive way. But it makes a number of things. Silent Hill is one of them. So it has a few marketable properties out there, but it's been making less and less games over the years.
Yeah.
I guess it has other business interests.
Of course.
And it's becoming very expensive to make games, right? I mean, the price of a video game if you paid retail price for a video game right now, what would it be?
$60, $59.
And what was it 6-7 years ago?
Less than that?
No, it was the same as that. It's been the same since my freaking Nintendo came out in 85.
See, I remember Nintendo games you could get for like 30.
And some of them were 30.
30 or 40.
But like marquee games when they dropped were like 50, 60. And it's been that way for ages. But they're getting more and more and more expensive to make. So right now, the only thing you're getting are gigantic titles. Your Assassin's Creed or Fallout or Bioshocks or your shooters Call of Duty. Or you're getting your indie games. There's nothing in the middle anymore.
You're not getting these smaller.
Yeah, no, there's no medium games out right now.
Yeah.
So
isn't a lot of that cost being caused by the game companies?
How so?
I mean, like, there's no need for you to go out and hire Ellen Page to do a voiceover. You can find a voiceover artist who probably isn't even in SAG-AFTRA who will do that movie for you. You don't have to do that. You choose to. And I'm not sure that, like, there's game audiences out there. Like, you know what I really need in this game? I need more Juno. Where's my Juno in this game?
I need more Juno the game.
Sure, but I mean, if
I want to be Pauly Bleeker.
If you're making, a new Assassin's Creed, you're going to drop a lot of money into that stuff. It's not like when you were making Mario 3, you had to drop that kind of money back in the day,
well,
right?
Well, and that goes into a whole thing when you're talking about the new Assassin's Creed Unity was buggy. Went and dropped, and so what was probably a brilliant game was overshadowed by because they had to get it out. because they were running, they were cost overruns. So the game was buggy, and they're like, we're going to fix it on the back end. We'll do it in post.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on nowadays. So anyway, go on.
Now, Silent Hill was kind of a shitty franchise to begin with. They've been riding on the coattails of what was a very, very good Silent Hill 2 on PlayStation 2 for a long time.
You know
what?
No, they've been riding on the coattails that Silent Hill 1 was good and Silent Hill 2 was good.
Well, we went to Vegas and we
2
did
was
that,
better than 1, but like it was two, like rarely do you get two good kind of storytelling games
right
in a row.
Well, what was funny is, so we went to Vegas for your bachelor party, we did that murder mystery tour thing, and we were sitting in the living room before the weird altar satanic sacrifice altar. People are going to be very confused when they hear that, the living room before the altar. You had said, yeah, this feels like Silent Hill. You said this feels like Silent Hill 2, and I had never played Silent Hill 2, and you basically told me all about how great this game was, and so I'm thinking Silent Hill must be this great thing that I've just never done, and I guess they'd done two good games, and that was it.
And they spawned a couple of terrible fucking movies. Just awful,
oh, yeah,
awful,
yeah, yeah.
Awful.
Wasn't Sean Bean in one of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Did he die?
Jon Snow was in one of them, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They put it out after he became Jon Snow.
Of course,
capitalized.
Of course, they
but
did.
It was terrible because, like,
was
two.
That the second one?
Yeah,
I saw the trailer for that at Comic-Con. I think we're all in that together.
Yeah, no, yeah. Silent Hill 2 is great because it doesn't have anything. Like, they eventually started talking about these weird cult issues, and it just became very weird. 2 was just an interesting psychological thriller. It had anything to do with anything. They've been writing. There's been 3 was okay, 4 was okay. There's been a few that were okay. But then they put out this trailer, but they don't tell anybody about it. So if you're on PlayStation, you can go to the PlayStation Store and download games or what have you, and they're usually advertised.
Oh my god, I remember when this came out.
They put out this trailer.
And nobody knew anything about
it. You have to search it out for yourself, and it was only titled PT. P period, T period.
Yeah, and it was like, it was fucking people up because it was like, no matter what you did, you died, and they couldn't figure it out.
There was no explanation. It was just in the store, and nobody said anything. And so you get this thing, but you could tell once you started playing, and I got tipped off by somebody, so I download this thing, that it's clearly Silent Hill designed. And yeah, you're basically wandering through a house, you can't get out the front door, and every time you get to the last door, you end up back at the first door, and things are slightly different, and you basically go through this thing,
trying to get out,
30
right?
times, trying to figure out what you need to do to solve whatever the hell the puzzle is. And occasionally ghosts come out and attack you, and you don't know what the hell is going on. And it's the usual spooky shit order. But it's well done. And once you finally beat the damn thing, which I did, I'm not sure many people did, without looking it up, you eventually got to a trailer for a new Silent Hill game.
Really?
Which they were calling Silent Hills for some reason. They had the likeness and voice of Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead as the main character. It was going to be directed by Guillermo del Toro.
So it was
going to
be
they were going to basically go to get together to make basically the spookiest, creepiest game they could make with, you know, a person who is fantastic for that.
And I might have played that.
And it looked like it was going to be awesome. And then Konami is falling apart. The head creative guy is leaving. Metal Gear is the last game it looks like they're going to put out for a long time.
Metal Gear is dead after this.
And basically the side effect is that if you downloaded this game and it's on your hard drive, it's now no longer in the PlayStation Store. You can't get it. So they are suddenly selling PlayStations on eBay that have this PT trailer built into their hard drive because it's the only way you can get it, and the prices are
how much?
I'm not sure where they're. I mean, I heard
700, 800.
They are definitely higher than what you would normally pay for a PlayStation.
PS3 is what now, like $399?
Yeah, something like that.
PS4.
eBay recently cleared all the ones that were being advertised, and new ones went up. I don't know how that happened.
Oh,
but But yeah, suddenly it's like the Flappy Bird thing when it disappeared off of the phones, and all of a sudden
I have Flappy Bird.
You've got to buy the phone that has Flappy Bird built in for some goddamn reason. And so I'm like, man, should I sell my PlayStation this shitty, like, terrible little trailer game that isn't even that great?
If someone is willing to buy it, I say sell it.
But I've also got like 30, 40 other games I've had to download over time that are built in.
Then it's not worth it. If you could transfer those games over, that'd be one thing, but then it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, so no Silent Hill game coming.
This is why I don't download games, because if something happens to my PlayStation and I can't get those games back, I'm out that money.
Well, these other 30, 40, they're free. They're the ones that PlayStation releases for free every month.
This is your PS Plus
Right. Whatever. If I lose the subscription, I lose the games. But for now, like, I want all of those games.
I remember when that trailer thing hit, and it was on Kotaku, and it was like the next day, and there was a big story on Kotaku, and they were like, we don't know what this is. Because nobody had gotten to the end of it yet, because right. they didn't put anything out there, and people were like, so we tried this, and we opened the refrigerator, and we got this, and then a ghost came and attacked us. So what if we don't do this? And, like, it
yeah,
was
no,
a thing.
Seriously, it didn't even make sense. And then the solution didn't even make sense. By the end, somebody set me up with a microphone and I'm saying some random name into it that apparently had to do with solving some puzzle involving math and other shit that I never worked out. And then apparently I won. Like, literally, but at the end, I passed this thing and I don't even know why. So I'm not considering it great. But it was interesting. So there you go.
There you go. All right, that was that's a good way to end the topic.
It also creates sadness and woe for at least one company.
Konami?
No, whichever company has the rights and is making Ready Player One.
That's coming.
Because that so would have been their idea. They probably would have done a worse job of it, but they would have done something like it. But now it will be like infinitely less cool.
Oh.
To have you have to have a playable game to get to the trailer or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you can't do it.
Sadness and woe. All right, we got one question from the universe, which comes from listener Brett. My good old friend Brett, who we haven't heard from in months, I feel like. Brett, I hope you're still listening.
He's busy, like, cleaning water and making sure people are safe and stuff.
He's surfing. Cleaning water and surfing. Mm-hmm. Brett was a good friend of mine.
I hear, I'm not an expert on surfers, but I hear that clean water is very important to surfers.
My son just said bye-bye. He's going inside. Clean water surfing. Listener Brett. I like Brett. Brett, next time you're in town, because I know your parents still live down the street from my mom, we should hang out. Come be on the podcast. That'll be awesome. All right. His question from the universe this week is, what would your preferred weapon be in the zombie apocalypse?
Oh. Are you...
Any, you got a weapon. It's a wide open. What is your preferred weapon?
Wow.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this. I'm thinking like maybe a cricket bat would be kind of cool.
Nah.
But it's been done.
It's been done. That's my point, is it's been done. what are you laughing at?
Grayson really wants to respond. He's crying in there.
No, you know what his preferred weapon is? His Thomas the Train Engine. Uh-huh. That's what it is. I don't. It's been done. Chainsaw's been done.
My initial instinct was flamethrower, but I don't trust anything.
Can I use the plasma beam from Metroid Prime?
You can't use fake weapons.
Stop.
Real zombies.
Are we? That's what I'm saying. We have to decide. Are we deciding what we would really actually find most practicable in a real life zombie apocalypse? Or are we answering what would be coolest in like a zombie movie?
I don't know.
Does that make sense?
No, real zombies.
Real zombies. Okay, so real zombies.
If literal zombies broke out,
yeah.
And we could go like anywhere practicable to get a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guns are going to run out of bullets.
Yeah, I would probably go with going down to the Museum of Man and stealing a Roman short sword. A Roman short. You know, not a short sword, but like the normal Roman.
Yeah, no.
So it's a big, thick, bladed weapon with twin sides. And it's
but it's
not
still
too
light,
long.
But it's still light it's enough, and good answer.
It has the oversized pommel stone in case you need to bash down on a zombie head. And
that's
presumably
a really good answer.
It's not going to get caught easily in a zombie.
That's a really good answer. As long as you have a whetstone, so you can continue to sharpen it. So you can, because I mean that's how the Romans took over the world was that sword.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a good weapon if we're talking about us in a zombie movie, though.
No. But in real life zombies?
In a zombie movie, I know what Will's weapon would be. He would build the dart blower gun from Fallout, but the darts would be explosive.
That could work.
Right? You remember that gun, right, that killed the wild cat things in Fallout?
No, I didn't play it.
You didn't play Fallout?
No.
Maybe a
shovel.
What's
wrong with you?
Maybe a shovel.
I'm thinking an effective tool that's long and works well, a scythe.
Scythe is good.
No. Well, scythes are heavy as a sweeping motion. So, like, what happens
You need something versatile.
I think you'd be better with, like, a halberd rather than a scythe.
Hmm.
If you wanted something, the halberd are the ones that they're kind of like an axe head with a point that are on a long pole.
What about a slingshot? But that wouldn't really do much
a
for you.
A slingshot? You're going to piss off the zombies?
Yeah.
Can I just have a shield? You can bash them with it and protect yourself.
Shields work. Yeah, I don't, again, it would have
a good
to,
mace no, would might be
better,
good.
I've got a better answer.
It would have to be something versatile, but no. without that wouldn't run out of bullets.
I like the short sword answer.
The short sword answer might be the best.
I've got a better answer.
What's better than that?
The weapon I want in a zombie apocalypse, a real life zombie apocalypse, I want my own private U.S. Marine.
Do you get to call him daddy?
I just want to sit.
Because they probably spent a lot of their time playing that zombie killing mode
probably,
on Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Probably. No, I'm just saying, far better than me actually having a sword myself and trying to survive the zombie apocalypse is if I get to stay at, in a nice fortified area and
so
let a Marine
you want a
it.
Champion.
Basically, yeah.
You're like Tyrion, like calling on Bronn.
Yeah, yeah. Can I have Bronn? Does Bronn exist in
Bronn
real life?
Bronn is the best answer. The best weapon to have in a zombie apocalypse is Bronn.
I want Dolph Lundgren. I mean, like, I don't know if you can do that.
No, I'm sure that Bronn kicks Dolph Lundgren's ass.
Not the actor who plays Bronn. He wants
Bronn. I really want Bronn.
All right.
Because at least it'd be entertaining during the downtime.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it.
He probably won't kill you.
Let's be honest. If you're living in the Game of Thrones story, what do you want? The mountain is probably a little bit more generally deadly than Bronn. But he just makes you feel uncomfortable when you're in a room with him and there's not killing happening.
Bronn or the mountain?
The mountain. Bronn is
Yeah, I don't
like,
know. The mountain might kill me.
Bronn just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I have to bring somebody with me that Bronn? I think won't kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the mountain will kill you.
Yeah.
He'll get bored and kill you. Yeah,
Jamie would have been good. Would have been.
Yeah. So wait,
would it have been?
Wait, has this turned into which Game of Thrones character you want?
Barristan would have been good, but then I don't know.
I don't think Barristan's dead.
I don't know.
I don't think Barristan's dead. I don't think Grey Worm's dead.
I don't think the mountain's dead. Where are we at?
Yeah. But no. No, seriously.
This has now become which Game of Thrones character?
The other question I
want
to bring forward is: hasn't Game of Thrones pretty conclusively expose the idea that Jaime as this horribly overwhelmingly good fighter was kind of a myth?
He doesn't have a hand,
no,
man.
Before. Even before.
No, he was pretty good, right?
He was pretty good before.
Rob beat him?
Yeah, but Rob got lucky.
Did Rob get lucky? Really? I think the whole lack of a hand thing is less a demonstration that, like, Jaime doesn't do good without his right hand. No, it's more like Jaime, the fear of Jaime was so great that no one took Jaime on for so long that he wasn't all that good anymore.
No, you see, no, because in the book, there's that whole, all of those scenes. Now, in the show, he's fighting.
In the show, they just bring him as a captive, right?
Well,
there's not even a fight,
but
is there?
But in the show, he starts training with his left hand with, actually, Bronn, I think.
And it doesn't go well.
It doesn't go well. In the book, it's with What's-His-Bucket, who doesn't have a tongue. So he can't talk about how bad Jaime is. And Jaime's really frustrated and really angry because he's better than that. Mm-hmm. And so I get the sense that Jaime probably is a pretty good fighter. He might not be as good as everybody says
no,
he
what
is.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he was awful. I'm saying that, like Barristan probably could have held his own against Jaime.
Barristan probably wins that fight.
But
at least in their primes.
But that's not the presumption of the gossip. Is what I'm saying. Like, Jamie's reputation was stronger than his actual fighting ability. Is all I'm saying.
I think Brienne even would have had a good shot against Jaime.
Yeah, but she doesn't count.
I had this thought the other day, is what happens in Game of Thrones if Ned Stark doesn't get beheaded but is actually allowed to join the Night's Watch and take the Black?
Everything's fine.
He runs it.
Well, yeah, he runs
Clearly
it.
Clearly he runs
but
it.
But then what ends up happening? Because ultimately, at some point, what's his bucket, the other king, the one with the Melisandre,
Stannis
shows up, and then what happens? Instead of talking to Jon, he ends up, this is all book, not TV
Ned
show.
Would give him the same spiel. I work here now, I'm not
you
going
think?
Back. Yes, because Ned did with the right thing all the way to the point of getting his head chopped off. He clearly would have done the same thing there.
Mm-hmm. But what that does is that takes Jon away from some of the things that Jon was involved in because Ned wasn't there, and I'm wondering how it ultimately would have ended up. It's an interesting thought experiment.
John, in that scenario, may go to Winterfell and join in.
Yeah, that's very true.
But no, I'm also not sure that it ever gets that far if Ned goes to the Wall.
Why?
I don't buy the idea that Renly has enough personal charisma to rally all the Stormlords without Ned being the sacrificial lamb on which he on whose back he did it.
So okay, Ned goes to the wall.
So if Ned says everything I said was a lie, goes to the wall and won't tell everyone he was telling the truth before, then I'm not sure Renly sitting there manages to take the entire South.
Renly
and
rise doesn't
them
take
in
the South. Therefore, Renly doesn't get killed I by think, Melisandre.
I think that the Lannister supposition that if you can get Ned to say no, I was lying and go to the wall, they'd probably get away with it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd be really curious. Someone should do some fan fiction, like good fan fiction, not shitty fan fiction where Ned and Jon Snow have sex. That's not good fan fiction. That's crappy fan fiction. Good fan fiction. All right, that's the end of Musings of a Geek this week. You can catch us on the, of course, Musings of a Geek podcast network, which is at musingsofageek.com. We are also on Danger Entertainment, the Danger Entertainment podcast network, which is at dangerentertainment.net.
Roll the bumper!
This is a Danger Entertainment podcast. DangerEntertainment.net. Danger Entertainment Podcast Network.
Thank you. Did you listen to the episode last week?
You added the bumper.
And I'm going to add the bumper again. Uh-huh. DangerEntertainment.net, where there's a bunch of awesome podcasts. Some of them are on my network. You can also get us on Geek Life Radio. We are on Wednesdays. I think it's 10 a.m. Central, which is like 8 a.m. Pacific. 11 a.m. Eastern.
He's explaining time zones to people now.
What are time zones? What is time?
How do magnets work?
What is time in a bottle? But I think it's 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. We're on Geek Life Radio. You can go on geekliferadio.com and figure that out. We're also on TuneIn Radio. If you've got a PlayStation or an Xbox, you want to listen to it on that, you can get us on TuneIn Radio and iTunes. Where else are we? Stitcher. We're everywhere! If you wanted to buy Five Tribes, go on Amazon. Go on the Amazon banner on musingsofageek.com. Gives us a couple bucks. We can keep the lights on. We can keep Will and Whiskey. It's all good. Does anybody have anything else for this episode?
Nope.
Nay.
No. All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening. And stay geeky, my friends.
You are now leaving the world of Musings of a Geek podcast network. Stay geeky, my friends.